Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Can you believe we're on episode 7 already? The time is just flying. It's crazy. And right now I'm recording this just a little bit after daylight savings time. And for reals, the struggle is real. It's about 7 p.m. and it seriously feels like 11. So I'm dragging butt, need some coffee, need something, or maybe just need some sleep. So that's always good too, but we'll see how that goes. Anywho, thanks for listening in today. I'm really excited to share today's guest with you. But before we do that, let's dive into our money wins. Let's shout out Parker Galbraith from the Manage Your Money Like a Boss Facebook group. That is the group where you can join in, share your money wins. There's different prompts so you can, you know, share anything. If there's saving tips, debt payoff tips, all kinds of different stuff in there. So make sure you go check that out. So Parker's money win is taking two school-related surveys, which took him about an hour and a half of his time, and he made $120 doing it. Hashtag money win. Heck yeah. $120 for an hour and a half of time is pretty kick butt. So nicely done. Way to go. I'm very, very proud of you as always. Another fun side note, Parker is trying to cash flow his education. So he's been hustling and working his hiney off trying to get that goal accomplished. And so it's been really fun to see his progress. And seriously, he is incredible. He's a really fun supporter in the group. So I always love seeing what he's up to. And I have to give another shout out to another one of the Facebook group members. This is Chad Methner, who has been working a ton of overtime to get his oh shit fund, and he's trying to pay off debt as well. So he has been, I know he said he was working one day where he was completely sick, but worked on a Sunday for 6 hours anyway. So Chad, keep up the great work. I know that's tough, but honestly, that's how you're going to get your progress. And you are already kicking butt. So I'm just excited to see what happens. From here till the end of the year, there's still a lot of bit of time there. So I'm just excited to see what you do. If you guys want to receive a special shout out on this podcast for all of your hard work, share yours with me by tagging me on Instagram, on Twitter, or in the VIP Facebook group using hashtag MoneyWin. All of which are linked in the show notes at themoneynerds.com. Today's guest is the founder of Every Single Dollar, Jessica Garbarino. Jess helps single women kick ass with money, pay off debt, build up a savings account, or just live a more intentional life. Her work can be found at everysingledollar.com. Jessica originally set a goal of paying off $56,000 in 2 years. She was well on her way and making amazing progress when her grandparents actually needed some help. So Jessica pushed pause on her intense debt payoff to take care of her relatives. After some serious financial setbacks, she regained her confidence, cleaned up her debt, and started helping other women do the exact same thing. In this episode, we talk about why women shouldn't wait until they're married before thinking about their money, how her grandparents inspired her to be debt-free, going through a foreclosure and what that process was like, the realization she came to about not needing material stuff, why she chases experiences over things, and we even talk about why she believes we should prioritize cash over cards. This episode is amazing. I am excited to introduce you guys to Jessica Garbarino from EverySingleDollar.com. Thank you guys so much for joining. Today I have Jessica Garbarino with me. Jessica has an incredible get out of debt story that I know you guys are going to really resonate with because it talks about a side of getting out of debt that sometimes people don't share. So Jessica, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great. I'm glad to be able to share my story with everyone.
Yeah, you're a blast to talk with, so I know we're going to have a lot of fun, but can you just give everybody just a brief overview of who you are, what you do, hobbies, where do you live, all that fun stuff?
Sure. So I live in South Florida, sunny South Florida. I was actually born here but did not grow up here, so I've moved around a lot. I've lived in about 5 different states. I am the founder and owner of Every Single Dollar. So what we do there is we focus on personal finance for single women. So I'm focused on guiding single women through getting out of debt and talking about personal finance, because I feel like that's something that really wasn't addressed when I was going through my journey of getting out of debt. So,
yeah, no, you're exactly right. And it's not taught in schools either. We've been having that brought up a lot. Such a pain. So talk to me a little bit about do you have a family? Are you married? Do you have kids?
No, I'm single, no kids. So that's why I feel like I can speak to that group of women. I'm in my late 30s. I'm 37. I've lived my entire adult life being single and having to manage my money as a single woman. So I feel like I can really talk to this audience, and I feel like I have a lot to offer and share with what I've gone through in my own personal finance journey.
Yeah. So one of the things that I hear a lot, and I have a fiance, but we actually don't combine our money. So I definitely can relate to you where it's like, you're kind of on your own. Has there ever been a time where you actually were frustrated about that? Like you just wished you had this second income? Or talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I think it's funny because I think married people think that single people have it easier, and single people think that married people, you know, if you combine your finances. So I think everybody has this perception that it's easy for what they're not, what their life stage isn't. I just think they all come with their own unique challenges. So yeah. I think with being single, what's tough and good at the same time is you don't have anybody else telling you what to do with your money. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I'd love to have someone tell me, don't spend that on another pair of shoes. And, but at the same time, it's like, well, if I want to go buy that, I'm going to go do it, you know? So it, like I said, it's a double-edged sword. So it's learning how to balance all that out and how to figure it out on your own without having somebody, as your kind of accountability, which can be tough.
Yeah, no, that's a really, really good point. And I think you touched on an important concept that so many people kind of forget about. And that is that before you get into relationships, before you're married, you may never be married, and that's totally okay. But before you do any of that stuff, you've got to learn to manage it on your own.
I think in my mind, I was always thinking, well, I'll just wait until I get married and then we'll figure it out together. Why should I bother doing it now? Because I may be getting married in a year or two. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I wake up at 37 and go, I kind of need to have my, my house in order, so to speak, so that, you know, retirement isn't looking that far off anymore like it was when I was in my early 20s. So I think it's good for anybody. And the other thing I tell women, too, is that it's great to know your own personal finances even before you get married, because then you're entering in a marriage and you've got it together. I mean, what a great thing to bring into a marriage.
Exactly.
As a great trait as well.
Yeah. No, so, you're exactly right. So talk to me a little bit then about your get out of debt process, because I know it's super interesting. I think people are going to love it. What was the debt? Was it credit card, student loan? I mean, what did it all was composed of? And then how did you get out of debt? Walk me through that process.
So I think it's funny. I tell people that in my early 30s, I had a financial hangover from my 20s. Because I lived in my 20s during the Sex and the City era, where we were all concerned about shoes and martinis and trying to live this lifestyle that is unattainable in a big city and on the income, at least, that I was making. And I actually lived in downtown Philadelphia for a while, so I really kind of got into the spirit of it. And then, you know, I got into my early 30s, and I was kind of like starting to think to myself, like, what am I doing? You know, like, I got to start being a grown up. And it was in January of 2010 that I went to visit my grandparents living in South Florida. I was living in Minnesota at the time, and I was helping them out. They were having some medical procedures being done, and I was down here to help them. And I was at the kitchen table, and sometimes it's just the simplest observation that can create the biggest impact in your life. So I was sitting there watching my grandmother balance her checkbook. And she would have made a great accountant, because she would get crazy if it was off like 5 cents. Like she was meticulous to a fault. kind of drove us all crazy sometimes and still does. But I sat there, and when I watched her, I thought, you know, all of the stories about her and my grandfather started running through my head. They had come to this country in 1962 from Cuba, starting over from scratch in their mid to late 30s with two little kids, and they had no money. They didn't know English. They couldn't even get the jobs that they had in Cuba here because my grandmother didn't speak English, so she couldn't be a teacher like she had been. And so they had to start all over again. So hearing all those stories of struggle and starting over and the sacrifices they made, there was one story in particular where they paid off $55,000 off their mortgage in 1 year.
Wow.
And I was thinking about all that as I'm watching her, and I'm thinking, I cannot screw this up. Like, I was given way too big of a gift to just let it go to waste. So I really decided there, really there and then, like, I had to make a change, and I had to figure out a way to do it. So that was really, like, the catalyst, just that simple, the conversation observation that really kind of got me on my journey to becoming debt-free.
That is powerful. Sometimes it is, you don't have to necessarily go through that same experience, but if you really can learn from it, you're going to be so much further ahead too. It's always so funny when you hear people say that they have to, I have to just, learn by doing. I'm like, no,
please don't do it. You can.
Right. It's like, you don't have to. There's another way.
Right. Absolutely.
That's a beautiful story.
So when I got back home, I actually sat down and I thought, I wonder how much debt I really do have. Because I knew I had some out there, but I wasn't really, I think you're always scared to find out what reality is.
Totally. Yep.
So I pulled all my credit card statements. I pulled in my college loans. I pulled in my car loan. And the total came out to $56,000. And it kind of took my breath away.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was all out there, but I think seeing a total really makes it hit home. Like, how does this ever go away? Mm-hmm. Or does it ever go away? I mean, I wasn't convinced yet at that point that it was going to go away. Mm. So I knew I had to make a plan of action. And weirdly enough, when the student is ready, the teacher arrives, as it's called, or it presents themselves. So my best friend, Angie, and her husband, Dave, were taking Financial Peace University through Dave Ramsey's organization. Mm-hmm. And she, who is not big on finances, she'll talk about them, but she's not passionate like I am about them. She told me about this class and how great it was and how approachable and how, down to earth it was. And it was very relatable. And I thought, okay, I got to check this out. But maybe I should check out his book, too, because I didn't want to wait for the classes. So I actually went out and got his book. I read through it in probably 2 days. And then I actually started a plan to pay off my debt before I took his Financial Peace University class.
Awesome.
I basically did a debt snowball where you take your debts from smallest to largest. And you pay minimum payments on everything, but you focus all of your extra money through budgeting on that smallest debt to start paying it all off. And then as I took the classes, that really helped me kind of get the full financial picture and get some information that I really didn't have, along the way when I was learning about it kind of on my own piecemeal through my life. So, but it was interesting because the second class, they encouraged you to kind of draw the line in the sand and cut up your credit cards. And that was the day I actually did. I brought in all of my credit cards and cut them all up. So I haven't used one since 2010.
Very nice. That's so amazing. So, were there tears?
I think when I had to cut up the one that I had started with.
Oh.
One card, because that was the one I had since I was like probably 21. So
yeah.
That was hard to cut up. But I had to, like, I'm kind of a go big or go home kind of a person. So I had to kind of make that decision to draw the line in the sand saying, if I'm going to pay this all off, I really have to make a commitment to not having debt anymore.
Yeah.
So So then the journey was that whole first year I was really on fire. Like I got rid of, so my credit card debt was $14,000. My car was $13,000 and my student loans were $29,000. That was for my MBA program. Mm-hmm. So, through all the miscellaneous little credit cards, I got all my credit card debt paid off by the end of the year, which was amazing.
Wow. That's incredible.
And I think I paid like 26 to 30 off in the first year of the 56. So I was really cranking it out. Like
yeah, you
were. I was on this plan that within 2 years I was going to be debt free. And that was amazing to see that could actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being diligent in budgeting and being purposeful about your spending, really gave me a lot of power. Because I tell people I don't have any superpowers. I just was very intentional about how I was spending my money and being very choosy about how I was spending my money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no cable. I wasn't doing anything extra. Just really focusing on the debt.
Hmm.
And then 2011 came around. My grandparents had some more major medical issues that kind of arose. So I made the decision to come down to Florida to live with them, to take care of them until we could figure out kind of a long-term plan.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was working on contract with my old company. So it was on a contract hourly rate. And unfortunately, after a few months, some of the work started drying up or, you know, it was going away. So they didn't need me. And all of a sudden I'm panicked because I have no income coming in.
Ooh.
And And the South Florida market still hadn't recovered from, you know, the 2008-2009 recession. It took a lot longer for the economy to bounce back. So here I am. I'm 2, 3, 4 months without an income. I still have my home in Minnesota. That goes into foreclosure.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, I finally get some work, but I'm so far behind on the mortgage, and I'm really kind of emotionally spent between that and caregiving, which is a huge emotional drain, as much as I was happy to do it.
Right.
I just had to let it go at that point. I mean, the house, I think, sold the next year at the sheriff's sale for $35,000. It was a condo. And I had purchased it for $109,500.
Oh, man.
So its value had really, like, dropped.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did those 100% mortgage at the top of the market, and it was just...
Totally common.
Totally horrible. Like, the worst scenario I could have picked to buy a home. So to say that I lost some steam in the process of paying off my debt was an understatement. Honestly, after that, I really just decided to kind of go status quo.
Hmm.
So while I wasn't going into any more debt, I wasn't really aggressively paying it off. Like sometimes I get a little bit of an encouragement and I'm like, okay, I'm going to pay this. And then I just go back to living, you know?
Yeah.
So that happened for about 18 months. And then last year, I'm in an online community that's really about dreaming and building and helping you launch your dreams.
Cool.
Someone in that group said, well, what are you going to accomplish in the next 5 years? And I was like, wow, like I really need to think about what I want to do. Like, cause that can come pretty fast.
Yeah.
And the top thing I put on my list was pay off the debt. Because I thought, you know what? I need to be done with this. It was my Sally Mae student loans and I just needed to be done.
Yeah.
So I got to work. I really started digging in. I was paying off as much as I could. And then in March of this year, March 5th, I call it kind of like my new birthday.
Yay.
I paid off all of my debt.
Woohoo!
Yes, it was so... To say that I felt like I had lost 100 pounds is an understatement. Because I just felt like... There was a freedom that I can't even explain that I felt that just was completely, I don't know, like I didn't worry about job loss. I didn't worry about, you know, emergencies coming up in my life because then with that extra money I was paying on debt, I was able to, you know, build a pretty nice emergency fund of about 6 months of expenses. So now, you know, I'm working a contract job right now while I've got every single dollar up and running and going. And it doesn't bother me that they may give me a notice saying, hey, in like 2 weeks, we don't need you anymore, because I've got a plan.
Yeah.
And I don't have all this money going to debt that could have gone, you know, can go to my living expenses. So it's pretty amazing. Like, I think you see life a little bit differently.
Yeah.
In terms of opportunities and options.
I think you're exactly right on that. And that's one of the common themes that I find with people that are either paid off a lot of debt or even in the process, is they have really bought into this end goal, this end vision of my life will be better when I do this. And that is usually the case. It's because whatever's driving you. So what was that vision? What did financial freedom mean to you when you're going through that process?
I think part of it was that I don't really know why I got into accounting, because that's that's where I'm working right now.
Yes, I feel you 100%. That was my undergrad.
Okay, good. We are soul sisters.
Yes.
And I keep thinking to myself, like, why did I choose that? Like, people meet me and go, you're an accountant? And I said, yeah, let's not even go into that. Yep. So for me, it was about being able to change my career path.
Ooh, okay.
Because I felt like I didn't feel like I could change into a different career path and take a major pay cut moving into a different career path because of the debt.
Mm.
So I think that's allowed more options in my life. It's allowed for more travel opportunities that I want to take. One of my big five goals was to start traveling the world to see where I could offer help or aid to people.
Oh, that's great.
So in November, that's part of that's coming true. I'm actually going with my cousin. Her and her husband actually run a nonprofit in Guatemala, but we're actually going to Haiti on like an exposure trip to kind of be introduced to a particular nonprofit down there and help them figure out ways to better PR, for lack of a better term, their ministry there. So it's things like these that if I wasn't debt free, there's no way I'd have the financial ability to do so.
Yeah.
I'm spending New Year's in Alaska. I'm going to a leadership camp to help teach leadership skills to teenagers. And again, there's no way I would have been able to afford that trip. So
that is so cool. I love that.
There's a lot of fun things you can do. And I think you can then start building that life that you've been dreaming of, but didn't realize how possible it was even in your present day. You don't have to wait for retirement.
Right.
You can be living it now if you had those options to do so.
So this is going to be a fun question, because I already know my thoughts on it, but I'm really curious on yours. So there are so many people that are still, they might be in their mid-20s, late-20s, 30s, 40s. It doesn't even matter how old they are, but they still have this goal of traveling the world. And for most people, that seems to be a really big goal for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still traveling, and they're still having nice cars, and they're still having nice houses, and they're putting it all on credit cards or whatnot, but they still get that lifestyle.
Right.
Tell me about the problem with that mentality.
You know, I think what happened was, is in my 20s, I was filling my life with stuff.
Yeah.
And I think having moved myself so many times, I mean, I moved when I was younger as well, but having to move all of your stuff every time starts so burdensome. Like, I live in a one-bedroom apartment now because I downsized and downscaled. And I think what you learn going through the debt-free process, going through paying off your debt, is you learn a lot of contentment.
You do.
And realizing that, it was funny, I think Dave Ramsey once said, you know, if you have lobster every night, it doesn't become special anymore.
No.
So why do I want to keep having these things around me all the time? It's funny because being in South Florida, people have a lot of nice cars down here.
Yeah, they do.
But when I'm in the parking lot, I think, man, but I wouldn't want someone to scratch this. Like, I would be worried. And the maintenance piece of it, too.
Huge.
Would be a lot. I mean, we lived in a house, I remember as a kid, in Atlanta that was close to 6,000 square feet.
Wow, huge.
And when we left there, my mom goes, I never want to live in something that big. It's so much to maintain. And yeah. I agreed with her. I said, I know. You showed me the electricity bill for that place. I said, I don't want to pay maintenance costs. So I think deciding what's important in your life is huge. Like, do you want to be eating your retirement by going out to eat all of the time? Do you want to be eating that travel that you could be going on? Mm-hmm. Is it really that important to drive a really nice car? Right. I mean, mine's ready to hit 100,000 miles. I'm just glad it gets me to and from where I go. Like, I don't need bells and whistles.
Right.
But I'm willing to do that because I want other things for my life. And I think people have to learn to decide what's important. Mm. I mean, what's really important?
I love that.
Why are you really doing some of this stuff? Is it really to impress somebody, or are you really getting any enjoyment out of it?
Right. I think that's beautiful. And you touched on the contentment piece, which I think is huge for mm-hmm. any area of your life, not even necessarily personal finance. But if you mm-hmm. can't be content within, you're constantly going to be going outside of yourself, trying to find that validation somewhere. And you're not going to find it anywhere other than within. And so I appreciate you touching on that. I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things that you did to help keep you content and keep you realizing that? Because, I mean, of course, we always want nice stuff. I mean, to say that we don't ever dream about taking the luxurious $10,000 vacation is, I mean, that's just not true. But mm-hmm. what do you do to keep yourself grounded and to keep yourself content?
I think what I have to go back to is how hard I had to work to pay off what I had accumulated in debt. When I started my debt journey, I know that my credit card balances at one point were higher than $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even tell you what I spent it on, sadly.
Yeah.
I mean, I have nothing to show. I can't even tell you what I can show for it. But I will tell you, when I walk around and I know that the things that I have in my home are paid for, and that I don't have to worry about when I go on travel now, when I come home, I'm like, oh, it's paid for. Like, I don't mm-hmm. have to worry about paying the bill for it later.
Right.
I feel like I can enjoy things more because I know it's not following me. I guess also it gets back to, learning to enjoy the simple things in life. You know, people, like I said, chase a lot of material things, but at the end of the day, you just accumulate more and more, and it doesn't make you any happier.
No,
it really doesn't. I've really learned that experiences are what make me happy, because I always have that experience in my memory.
Yeah.
The stuff isn't always going to be around. It'll break someday. You know, it'll get trashed someday. So.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it goes back to that. You don't have to go through that to actually realize this. So.
Right, right. Don't do what I did. I mean, I used to go to DSW on my lunch break and come back with 4 pairs of shoes. I mean, ridiculous. Yeah. I didn't need them. I had a shoe closet that could have maybe rivaled Imelda Marcos at one point. And I've just learned now that, you know, I've pared it down quite a bit, maybe down maybe 50, maybe.
Dang, girl. But, you're good.
But I realized, too, that I was wearing kind of the same shoes anyway, so I wasn't even wearing the ones I had bought.
That's how it goes.
So it's refocusing and saying, is this really necessary? The other thing that's really helped me, too, that I'm sure some people have used is I really try to stick to a cash method
mm-hmm.
where most of my bills are on auto pay. The things that are more discretionary, like food, clothing, entertainment, mm-hmm. I pull that out as cash from every pay period or every week. And it is such a great reminder of the finality of what you're allowed to spend. Because I think sometimes the credit cards and even a debit card, you lose that connection of what things cost you.
Yes, you do.
I actually challenged my mom to do that exercise earlier this week because she was having a tough time with spending. And she called me the next day and she goes, Jessica, she goes, oh my gosh, I was in Walmart. She's like, and I was just collecting stuff because she thinks, oh, I'm going to need it at some point.
Yeah.
She goes, then I realized I had to go to the cash register and I didn't have enough money to pay for all of it. Because I told her to leave her cards at home.
Yep.
And she goes, man, you get really choosy about what you're spending your money on when it's limited like that.
Yes.
I think that's the connection people don't make with credit cards and cash.
Yep.
Is that with credit cards, you lose that connectivity because even though people tell me they'll pay their balances off, there's always that tendency or that option to let it roll over to the next month. So,
yeah.
I think I'd rather go with that finality of cash.
I totally, totally agree with you. That's one of the best ways to get the cash diet is what I like to call it, right? Mm-hmm. You go on a cash diet and
yes.
You're exactly right. It's embarrassing. If you don't have enough money, you're like, oh my God, this is the worst.
The worst is if you're in line and then you realize that that's even worse. And then you're like,
throw off the gum.
Excuse me, I forgot something. That's what I would tell people. It's so really putting something back.
I love that. I forgot. Yeah, I got to go put that back. That's great.
Oh, gosh. Well, then you realize what things cost, too. You're just not blindly putting things in your shopping cart either.
So true. So. I love that. So what piece of advice? We got a couple last questions before we wrap up. What advice can you give to someone that's trying to get out of debt and maybe they feel so overwhelmed, they don't even know where to start, they don't even know how to get to that next level, and they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel? What advice would you give to help them see that they can do it, and what should they do? Where do they start?
Well, I want to tell them first that I have no special superpowers. I mean, I have a financial background, but I've seen people that have no financial background do this. So you don't have to be a superhero to get this, you know, to do this. Really, it's spending the time or building the time up front to create a system to be intentional about your money. So the best way I tell people to start is just gather your bank statement and your credit card statements. Just take a look and see where your money's even going. Because I don't even think people pay attention to where it's going. So paying attention to where you're spending your money is kind of my first tip. And then sitting down and really formulating out a budget. You know, what's coming in? What are the categories that I need to spend on? Making sure that kind of the life essential ones are covered first.
Right.
And then, then seeing how much money you may actually have left over when you're going through your budgeting process. I think people would be more surprised as when they first start doing a budget, how much money they actually have left over and wondering where it's going. So I think that's a really easy win for people to get started. The other thing is the reason I do the debt snowball and I tell people to do that is you get some easy first wins. You know, you've got to have the motivation to feel like you can actually do this. And by paying off those small ones first, the research shows that, you know, paying off those smaller debts psychologically helps you change the behavior in paying off the debt. So start small, be intentional. Beyond cash.
Love it.
I would tell people.
Start small, be intentional, beyond cash.
Yes.
That's cute. I love that. So what kind of car do you drive today? This one's always so fun to me.
Let's see. So funny thing about my car is I was in an accident when I this is pre getting out of debt. Mm-hmm. And when I went to go get a loan to get my next car, that was the month that the banks decided to jack up the rates. This was in late 2008.
Yep.
So my existing loan company wouldn't even give me anything under 10%. I had to go to Chase and get 7.25.
Wow.
Which is, again, why I won't go back to loans or credit cards because they can screw around with your rates.
Completely.
At any time. So I drive and at the time it was in 2008 at the end. So I drive a 2009 Mazda 3.
Love it.
And she is at about 98,500 miles. So I can't wait till I'm close to that 100. I'm going to take a picture and say, here's to middle age of my little car. Hoping for the next 100,000.
That's awesome.
I'm planning to probably drive it for another 100,000 miles.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And if you take care of cars, I mean, I have a 2001 Toyota Celica.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not quite to 200,000, but I'll share that picture with you when I get there. So.
Yes, you'll have to, for sure.
I will.
That's awesome.
I know. It's so funny. And it's the funniest thing, too, is because so many people think that if you have a car that isn't expensive, it's not going to be reliable.
Right.
Right. And that is, it's just such a myth because I've had friends that have brand new cars that immediately have to send them back because there's some recall.
So there's a defect or something.
Always. Like,
how's that theory working out for you?
Yeah.
I punched a hole right through that one.
Isn't that, it always kills me. So I appreciate you sharing what kind of car you drive. I always think so inspirational for people too. So final question, where can people go to learn more about you and what cool things you're up to?
So you can go to my website at www.everysingledollar.com. I'm also on Twitter at Jess Garbarino, JessGarbarino. I'm also on Instagram, Jessica Garbarino. And I also have a Facebook page, Every Single Dollar, as well as a Facebook group, the Every Single Dollar Community. So we're doing discussions in that Facebook group. I just posted one the other day, like, what's the toughest thing you're having to budget? So we're creating some good dialogue with the women we've got in our group. So
that is beautiful. Jessica, thank you so much for spending some time with me and sharing your awesome story. And your advice is incredible. So I appreciate you sharing that all with us.
Thank you for having me today. This was fun.
Yeah. And we'll definitely be in touch definitely in the future. And I'm going to check out your community too and pop in and say hi.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Jess. I hope you have an awesome day.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. What'd you guys think? The part of Jessica's story that really spoke to me was how she was so committed to helping her family. She was well on her way to hitting her 2-year debt-free goal, but decided that pushing pause was more important for that little extra time with her loved ones. That is not always easy to do. And in fact, sometimes that's the hardest thing you're ever going to do because there's this like this mixed dilemma that we have where it's like you need to take control of your financial life because that is a selfish thing to do, but it's actually very unselfish because when you take control of your money, you can help other people be better with their money and you can give, you can donate, you can do all these different things more. And so it's a torn dilemma for a lot of people. So I really admired that Jessica was able to make that decision and say, you know what, helping my family is more important right now, and there's still time to pay off debt. But not only that, she pushed pause and she revisited that and still paid off the debt in record time. She still kicked butt. So I thought that part was really, really cool about Jessica's story. And I really appreciated her focus on chasing experiences and not things. And I found myself nodding and shouting, yep, like the whole time in my head, I'm like, I get it. I agree. This is so something I believe in, over and over again as she was sharing her philosophy on contentment. So that was today's episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed today's guest. I know I sure did. I have a lot of notes to go through now and see about how I can think about contentment within my own life a little bit more. Thanks so much for joining in. Make sure you join the Facebook group if you want more interaction outside of the podcast. And if you haven't done so already and you're getting some really great inspiration from this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving me a review. It means the world to me, and I love seeing some of the reviews that you guys have been leaving. So thank you so much for those. I hope you guys have an awesome day, and I hope you take control of your money and do something with all of the fun tips you've learned today. Have a good one. Yeah, so I decided I'm just going to go to bed after this. I was going to do some more work, but I'm pretty much pooped out. So peace out. See you guys next week.